Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, we know that you love us and bless us, even though we've broken your laws and our sins have separated us from you. Please forgive our many transgressions and help us in our struggles to avoid sinning again. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, and we ask that you empower us with the same ability to forgive and have mercy on others. All this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Two, the Commander-in-Chief of the Spiritual Armed Forces, Jesus Christ. Title, A Request for Transfer. Dear Lord, I'm writing this to you to request a transfer to a desk job. I herewith present my reasons. I began my career as a private, but because of the intensity of the battle, you have quickly moved me up in the ranks. You have made me an officer and given me tremendous amount of responsibility. There are many soldiers and recruits under my charge. I'm constantly being called upon to dispense wisdom, make judgments, and find solutions to complex problems. You have placed me in a position to function as an officer, when in my heart I know I have only the skills of a private. I realize that you have promised to supply all I would need for the battle. But sir, I must present you a realistic picture of my equipment. My uniform was once so crisp and starched, is now stained with tears and blood of those I have tried to assist. The soles of my boots are cracked and worn from the miles I have walked trying to enlist and encourage the instructed troops. My weapons are marred, tarnished, and chipped from constant battle against the enemy. Even the book of regulations I was issued has been torn and tattered from the endless use. The words now are smeared. You have promised you would be with me throughout, but when the noise of battle is so loud and the confusion is so great, I can neither see nor hear you. I feel so alone. I am tired. I'm discouraged. I have battle fatigue. I would never ask you for a discharge, for I love being in your service. But I humbly request a demotion and transfer. I'll file papers or clean latrines. Just get me out of the battle, please, sir. You're faithful but tired. Soldier.
Two, faithful but tired soldier, Spiritual Armed Forces, location the battlefield, subject transfer. Dear soldier, your request for transfer has been denied. I herewith present my reasons. You are needed in this battle. I have selected you, and I will keep my word to supply your need. You do not need a demotion and transfer. Desk job, you'd never cut it on latrine duty. You need a period of R&R, renewal and rekindling. I am setting aside a place on the battlefield that is insulated from all sound and fully protected from the enemy. I will meet you there and I will give you rest. I will remove your old equipment and make all things new. You have been wounded in the battle, my soldier. Your wounds are not visible, but you have received grave internal injuries. You need to be healed. I will heal you. You have been weakened in the battle. You need to be strengthened. I will strengthen you and be your strength. I will instill in you confidence and ability. My words will rekindle within you a renewed love, zeal, and enthusiasm. Report to me, tattered and empty. I will refill you. Compassionately, your Commander-in-Chief, Jesus.
If we were to stop right here and consider the Savior that He wants to be to us, the comfort He is to us, the help He has been to us, the friend He will always be, and the freedom He gives us on a daily basis, we can go home. There's a message there. Thank you for that message. I have more to say than I have time to say this morning. That's a problem for me. But thank you for being here. The week we got back from Bolivia, we went to the Nazarene Church for Sunday school and for church, and we got through Sunday school. Joe Hockett came and said, I need to talk to you. He said, here's two dates. Pastor will be away. Can you fill in? I said, I can. One of them is May 27. That's today. A week ago, I get a call from Jim. He says, hey, we need a speaker for the 27th. I said, if I can do what I did the last time, he said, I don't know what that was. Obviously, it was okay. Just do it. So when I get done here, we have to run out and get over to the Nazarene Church to speak for their 11 o'clock service. However, this being Memorial Day weekend, I don't have, okay, per se, a Memorial Day weekend sermon. That's not how I felt God leading. But let me say, for those who are here who may have served our country, and to all of our servicemen and women who are serving, men and women in uniform, a heartfelt, it's pounded, okay? A heartfelt thank you for your service. But on another note, I was thinking this morning, probably all of us have somebody somewhere in our background, a Sunday school teacher, a spiritual leader, somebody who served to make a difference in our spiritual life. If you can, tell them thank you. And yet, one more note of memorial this morning. While we remember all these other individuals, let's not forget to thank God for the sacrifice He made in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins. That's not the sermon. That won't cost you any extra. But I do want to say, before I get any further on, the title of the message, The Holy Life, I can't give you all there is to know in what time I have this morning about the holy life. It's just impossible. But with God's help, I trust that what I have to share will be a challenge that will cause each of us to desire to live that kind of a holy life. And I do want to say, because I don't have the time to tell you everything that could be said, a pastor's job is not to give you everything, to teach everything, to tell you everything. Does anybody know that? You're aware of that? Okay. So if I don't get it all covered this morning, you can go home and continue to read and continue to study and to continue to live the holy life. That's what it's all about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As I was praying about this service and what to share, and I felt led to this passage of scripture, I meditated and I pondered over what Peter had written, and I asked myself a bunch of questions. Where was it written and recorded? Who was it written to? When was it written? Why was it written? And what was the purpose? Now, I could take a lot of time. I'm going to try to answer some of those questions, but I don't want to get too detailed and not leave any time for the main part of the message. So here's the first question. Where was it written and recorded? Go back to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be what? Say it with me. Holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. For God's chosen people, he had a desire. And if I can go beyond the desire, it's written as a command to be holy. It's not a suggestion. This is a command to be holy. In the New Testament, for Peter, writing to strangers scattered abroad. Now, that is not unbelievers. Okay? Go back to the first part of the chapter. He's writing to the called or the elect. So it's written to God's people both in the Old Testament and New Testament. When was it written? In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, about 1405 BC. In the New Testament, about 64 AD. Round figures, spanning a time period of about 1,500 years. The message hasn't changed from the time Peter wrote it to the present. The message still has not changed. Be holy, because I, your God, am holy. Why was it written? I'm going back to the Old Testament again, Leviticus chapter 20. Verse 26, ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. Get the next part. And severed you from other people that you should be mine. Did you catch that second part? And I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. In the New Testament, as Peter's writing, time of persecution. Persecution can cause us to grow spiritually, or it can cause bitterness. You know what that all depends on? Our personal choices determine the outcome. In writing to Jewish believers who were struggling in the midst of persecution, Peter encouraged them to conduct themselves courageously in their character and their conduct. And the challenge was to be above reproach, be holy. The purpose of the writing. We'll finish out the rest of our time under this last question. This is not the outline. I've got two more things to go to get to the outline. But Peter had been talking about the greatness and the glory that we as Christians can look forward to. And we are looking forward to that, right? However, we cannot get lost in the engagement of the future because we are constantly being embattled, as you heard in the soldier's request for transfer. We're facing the battle. We're engaged in the battle, and we don't get out of the battle until we get to glory. But three things leading up to verse 16. Peter tells the people, gird up the loins of your mind. In that statement, there's a vivid picture from the East. And the men in the Eastern cultures wore long robes, a belt. And those long robes hindered any quick movements or strenuous work. So what they would do is pull up their robe and tuck it in their belt to get the job done. In our culture, we say, roll up your sleeves and get it done. And while we think of that, getting the job done, reading between the lines, Peter's giving the message that we can never have a flabby or unexamined faith. Think through the scriptures. Work through the scriptures. Pray through the scriptures. Yes, I know we make mistakes. Some things we just don't do again. Some things we did wrong. But when the dust all clears and the dust all settles, you know what we have? We have some God-given principles that are based on His Word, and nobody or no thing can take them away from us. It's sound biblical principles. Secondly, Peter exhorted them to be sober. Two thoughts. Number one, literal translation, don't be intoxicated. Number two, don't be careless and get intoxicated with the latest fads, fashions, and crazes of the world. We may come back to that if I have time. Number three, Peter tells his readers to set their hopes on the grace which is going to be given them when Jesus Christ comes. We live in hope. And because we live in hope, we can endure the present trials. Now, on to verse 16. Be holy because I am holy. The words that God gave Moses, Peter reiterated that. What does that word holy mean? Somebody tell me. Set apart. Without sin. Set apart. Okay. We're going to come back to that over and over, okay? With God telling Moses, tell the people to be holy. I've severed them. I've set them apart. And when we are without sin, we are what? Set apart. We are holy. That word holy in the original is hagias. Okay? Everybody say that. Hagias. Come on, say it. Hagias. Okay, we're going to do that a couple times. Holy, different, set apart. In the Old Testament, the temple was hagias, holy, set apart. The Sabbath is set apart because it's different from the rest of the days. The Christians are what? Set apart. Why? Because they're free from sin, they're holy. We're getting it together. And because God is who He is, He's chosen us, and we've chosen to serve Him, and therefore He's saying, be holy. So we've determined the command was given to Moses for the people. Peter shared it with those he wrote to, and is still for you and I, because we're to be different. Anybody ever hear the word ambassador? Ever read it in your Bible? 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for our country are different, aren't they? They're not the normal run of the people. Sometimes I see Nikki Haley give a speech to the UN, and she's pointed. She says her mind. She speaks her mind. She speaks for the country. Are we as ambassadors different? We speak the truth without fear or favor? Are we ambassadors being holy, set apart, and different? I'm about to my outline, but before I get there, I have to tell you what this outline did for me this week. Where's that little lady? She's in the back row. I told her I was going to the Nazarene church after this. She says, good, that means you won't go over today, right? I said, I've prepared so I won't go over, but we'll see how that turns out. I walked into a business place this week and a lady said something to me about somebody I don't know. I said, who did you say that was? Another lady says, just a minute, I'll look up the name. And that quick, it just seemed like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, no, please don't do that. I don't want to know who that was. I said, because if you tell me you've gossiped and I've participated because I've listened, I don't want to do that. It doesn't make you or I a better person. Besides, I'm working on a sermon for Sunday. And the outline is, am I holy in my actions? Am I holy in my attitude? Am I holy in the atmosphere I create? I can't be gossiping or participating in gossip and be holy. It was just that quick. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And He'll do that if we'll listen. Number one, this is the outline. Are we holy in the actions we display? Now, tying this all together, the word display, according to Webster's dictionary, is to make evident. Okay? To make evident. We make something evident every day, positive or negative. But let me ask you this question. How many of you drive? Raise your hand. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's not a trick question. You ever drive down a highway and have somebody pass you and they cut you off? I mean, they cut right in front of you. Almost took your bumper with them. How do you react? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Do you act or react in a holy manner? Or do you get into a fit of road rage? Okay? Holy in our actions. I'm going to confess, for a long time, if somebody tailgated me, it just drove me nuts. I would wait till they get right close, and I'd jam on my brakes. But you know what? God is helping me with that attitude problem. That's an action problem. Anymore, you know what I do? I just slow down. If they're that big of a hurry, I'd rather they were in front of me than behind me. Pretty easy. It wasn't easy to get there. I'm not that kind of person. But this three-point outline, as simple as it is, has just worked on me for the last 2 weeks. God's working on me. I might as well say it. I'm right here. We live in a small community. We all know that. Pretty much everybody knows everybody. Or about everybody. People know where you go to church. They know where I go to church. They know what I do. They know what I preach. If my actions don't back up what I'm preaching this morning, somebody's going to see it, and they're going to say, he doesn't practice what he preaches. Are we holy in our actions? I got time. What do you do when you go shopping? There's a long line of people, and there's one clerk at the checkout counters. Drives you nuts, doesn't it? I can tell some of you are smiling. You say, I don't say a word. You know what? You don't have to. Sometimes your action speaks so loud nobody can hear what you're saying. Okay? I'm not the most patient person. When I get into a situation like that, I say, only one register open. I don't say it real loud. But there again, God's working on this boy. This sermon I put together the last 2 weeks, God is just hammering me with it. What about the actions you display in front of your family? Fasten your seatbelts, okay? What kind of actions do you display when you have an idea or a plan? You share at a committee meeting in church and your plan never gets out of committee meeting. How do you act then? I'll just turn around. Don't look at me. Now, I don't know what you do in your committee meetings. I don't know how you act or react. Are we holy in our actions? We're representing Jesus. All right, I'll go on. Number two, are we holy in the attitudes we dispense? Again, let me give you a definition of dispense so we know where we're going. Webster says dispense is to deal out in portions. I have a sermon in my files at home titled Living Beneath Your Privileges. We went to look at a job this past week. I guess it was Friday. We looked at the job and everything went well. We thought we were going to leave. The husband said to the wife, is lunch ready? Yeah. Can we eat a little early today? Yeah, that's fine. He says, do you have enough for John and Nancy to stay for lunch? Yeah, that's fine. We ate lunch. We didn't tell them we had plans to go out for lunch. And you're not going to believe this. It wasn't long until one of the girls got up from the table. She disappeared and she came back with three big buckets of ice cream. She said, John, did you save room for this? Yes, I did. She was dealing out or dispensing the good stuff. Are we dispensing a good attitude? Okay? Life is so practical. If we just look at where we're going, there's so many things that we can apply. At least I do. I'm not that complicated most of the time. Do we deal out attitudes that are becoming to people who live holy lives? What kind of attitude do we have towards unbelievers? How do we treat them? Does our attitude create a hunger in their life for what we have? for the joy of the Lord to know Jesus? Or do they walk away from us and say, if that's what their religion does for them, I don't need it? I remember as a teenager growing up, I was not settled spiritually. But Mom and Dad took us to church faithfully. And I remember people in that church. It was a large church. And I said, if I ever become a Christian, I want what they have. You know why? They were dispensing attitudes of holy living. They treated everybody the same. They were kind. They were generous. They were just the kind of people I would aspire to be. What kind of attitudes are we dispensing? What is a holy attitude? An attitude that is set apart from fads and fashions and a hunger for the world. A holy attitude is an attitude that is set apart from the world because we have a deep desire to live, please, and commune with our Heavenly Father and submit to His will and be filled with His Spirit. Number three, are we holy in the atmosphere we disperse? And a third time I consulted with Mr. Webster. The word disperse means to cause to break up. To cause to break up. What kind of atmosphere do we disperse? When you walk up to a group of people and there's a conversation already going, what kind of atmosphere do you bring to the conversation? What kind of atmosphere do you bring to work? What kind of atmosphere do you bring home from work? What kind of atmosphere do you bring to Sunday worship? Ever consider dispersing a fruit basket? What are you talking about? I got to carry a fruit basket around. You know what? You can carry it right here. You can find it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. The first thing in a fruit basket is what? Love. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. The fruit of the Spirit, come on. Love, joy, peace. And I could take time, and I've gotten those for all of those things. But anyway, let's just stop at gentleness. Are you gentle when things don't go your way? What about a business transaction that's just not quite right? How do you react? You ever go to the bank, cash a check, and you're going to get cash back, and they don't give you enough money? Do you make a big scene, you make a big fuss, and embarrass the teller? I went to the bank this last week, is why I'm saying this. I counted the cash before I left the window. And I counted $100 short of what I was supposed to have. So I looked at the teller very quietly and I said, I think we are a little short. She said, how much? I said, $100. She says, you mind if I count it again? I said, please do. She counted it out. She says, you're right. I knew that. Here's what I said. I'd rather count it in front of you before I go out the door, because once I go out the door, it's pretty hard to prove it wasn't all there. And you know what she said to me? thank you. It pays to be gentle. Have I arrived? No. I've still got work to do. I'm not perfect. But if we're living holy lives, the fruit of the Spirit will flow through us. Now, when you go home, read the verses prior to the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Verse 20, 21, Galatians chapter 5, is a list of the works of the flesh. Those things are not part of living a holy life. It tells us what they are. Then it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. When I started, we determined that holy is to be set apart. Do our actions set us apart from the actions of the world? Do our attitudes set us apart from the attitude of the world? Does the atmosphere you create cause anybody to take notice? Is it different? I don't mean you have to be so charismatic that when you walk in the room, everybody else stands up and cheers and applauds because you're there. I'm talking about bringing something with you. And that's the Holy Spirit working through you. People notice it. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm not going to do what I heard somebody do this week. They said they're going to quit three times and kept going. Let me just do it like this. If you've been struggling with living a holy life, and you're asking yourself, how can I be holy in my actions, in my attitude, in the atmosphere I create? A simple illustration. I set a chair down front. You're probably wondering what it's there for. If this chair represents the throne of your heart, okay? And you are sitting on the throne of your heart, you are in control. And you cannot live a holy life if you are in control and if you are sitting on the throne of your own heart. I'm going to be real blunt. Get your butt out of God's chair. Okay? Let God have right of way. Let God have first place. And you can, by His enablement, live a holy life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the challenge to be holy. Only you can help us do that. And I thank you for what you've done in my life in the last 2 weeks. But I pray you continue to work in my heart, in my life. We pray that you will just bless this church. And Lord, bless them abundantly. Be with the pastor and his family while they're away. Above all, we just pray that you would help each one of us to live our lives so the world might see your holiness through us. Guide and direct throughout the day, throughout the week. Give wisdom. Give direction and give understanding. We give you praise. Amen.